a reading this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew. Listen for the word of God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a second reading from the author Amy Tan, who writes, a pious man explained to his followers. He said, it is evil to take lives and noble to save them. Each day I pledge to save 100 lives. I drop my net into the lake and scoop out 100 fishes. I place the fishes on the bank where they flop and they twirl. Don't be scared, I tell those fishes. I am saving you from drowning. Soon enough, the fishes grow calm and they lie still. And yet, sad to say, I am always too late. The fishes expire. And because it is evil to waste anything, I take those dead fishes to market and I sell them for a good price. And with the money I receive, I buy more nets so I can save more fish. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My friends, to say I am happy to be with you this morning is an understatement. For those of you I haven't met yet, I am, as you heard, I'm Lori, daughter of WPC. We go all the way back, WPC and I. It is the church home in which I was baptized and confirmed and ordained into ministry in 2012, and this will always be home. And I am here today to talk to you about your treasure, specifically how to keep it moth and vermin free, which I think we can all agree is the ideal state. So when I was invited to come speak with you all on Celebration Sunday, I was delighted to say yes. I know the committee who planned this endeavor are hard at work to ensure the future of this institution, and they hope that the delivery of God's word today will help motivate you in a similar direction. Maybe. Alas, my friends, there is a difference between the sermon we might like to preach and the sermon God calls us to preach. And it rarely ends well if you ignore the latter. Honestly, I don't feel like God is calling me to talk to you about your treasure. Your treasure is kind of your business, between you and God on loan from on high, as it were. In the end, I think I am more here to remind us, all of us, that our faith calls us to resist this very common human urge that the story I just shared exemplifies, and that is our desire to save fish from drowning. In the life of the church, and maybe it's just human nature in general, we like to be busy. We like to adopt new projects, take on service initiatives, be active community members, experience new ways of worshiping, and I am as guilty as the next person or pastor of that. I am always looking for my next project. My husband will attest to this. Whether we want to step up and do the work individually or not, most of us feel like the church should probably be doing more. More everything. We ought to be out there on the front cultural lines for Jesus, adding ever more. More people, more pews, more programs, more mission, more outreach, more dollars, more openness, more inclusivity, more. I like a lot of those mores. Most of them, in fact. And it is all in the name of trying to steer the ship in the right direction. We are trying to be the hands and feet of faith, enacting the will of God as best we can interpret it, and in response to seeing chaos in the world, we seek control. We try to shape things. We seek a net to put around life to make it all make sense, to save it with all that more. or in the opposite direction, we try to save the world with used to. Memory is alluring with its promise of a safe haven that we think we used to know. Didn't it all used to work better? We used to do Sunday school this way, and it worked, didn't it? We used to have hundreds of kids here every Sunday morning. We used to participate in X or Y or Z, and our memories, they always add a little bit of shine. So we seek desperately to fill our nets so we can get back to where we used to be. More and used to. Both attempt to achieve salvific impact, never minding that we claim we believe that Christ already took care of that. Never mind that neither extreme is very good at paying attention to the present. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not telling you that it is unimportant to give. Yes, stewardship team, I feel you wanting to lunge at me from here. Of course, it is important to give toward the work of God as exemplified by Christ in the world. Of course, we should support our faith community with our finances as well as our talent and our time. This institution does not survive on good thoughts alone. You don't need me to tell you that. But what we both might need to hear, I suspect, what I am telling you, is that the idea of mere addition, of adding more and doing more and being more, that is missing the point. As is trying to freeze time, returning to what we used to be. We get too caught up in the maelstrom of more and used to. In that way, we are trying to save fish from drowning. Attempting to exercise control accomplishes pretty much only two things. It keeps us from getting close enough to get hurt, and it ensures that we never move at all. It kind of freezes us in an unpleasant middle of nothing, like being suspended in jello. By causing both stasis and distance from one another, we can be assured that any attempt to fix the world according to me, instead of the world according to Christ, will keep us isolated from each other, will prevent the church from really, truly being the church. If I refuse to give because the church isn't adding what I want, if I withhold my time because we don't do things the way we used to do, and I liked it that way, if I keep to my little corner of the life of this community, then the whole church suffers. I may have convinced myself that I know best, that I am keeping the fish from drowning, but really I am keeping others and myself from the full richness of diving into life with the absolute trust to which Christ calls each of us. Christ calls us to step back from imposing our own order on things and instead invites us to see the way that God is making clear. The work and life of the church does not require rigidity, but rather a creative and invitational response to those who make up the life of the church today and to where we get to go together into the future. The church, in short, needs you. So put another way, here is some cosmic reassurance. The church, the big picture church, is not dying. The end of faith communities is not nigh. The fish are not drowning. Rather, the fish, if here fish means the church, the fish are doing what they are meant to do. And it is in how we square ourselves up to look at life that determines whether we feel a panicky need to go out and get more nets, or instead to dive deep, giving and flourishing in the spirit of rejoicing. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we rejoice where we are right now, today? Well, we might start by recognizing that you, none of you, are here to fix imaginary problems, nor are you here to impose your own order on things. None of us are. You are here, we are here, because it is here that God called us to be. God wants you here. I shared with some of the elders and deacons the other night the story of one of my personal favorite biblical figures, Barnabas, son of encouragement. He isn't talked about nearly as much as Paul, but the two of them went around the region preaching and teaching the word of God, healing people, celebrating Christ's resurrection and love, no matter how many times it got them arrested. And the story of Barnabas begins when he pops up seemingly out of nowhere, meets some recently released apostles turned prisoners who were most assuredly bound to reoffend, and Barnabas sells his field, his source of livelihood, and he just gives it to the disciples. All of it. They had promised to care for one another as a community, and that's exactly what they did. Can you imagine that kind of diving in? Can you imagine the insecurity of joining the community of Christ followers when they were spending half their time in prison for preaching the gospel, of throwing your entire source of income into the common pool, all on such a little thing as faith? To relax your grip from attempting to control, from seeking security, and instead to float, splash, swim, and dive. When we give in the name of God, we do so not to restore the used to that we might think we'd like best. We do so not to add more and more and more in a clenched fist and graceless fury. We do so to attend to the fish swimming right beside us. We do so because it inches us closer to the dream that Christ offers us as reality. So I'm asking you this morning to consider, to really think about the answer here. What might happen if we lived like we really believed all this? I mean, really, really, truly believed it. Not check off an attendance pad on Sunday, believed it. Not say your prayers to cover your bases in case it's true, kind of believed it. But actually, fully, genuinely believed and meant every word of every prayer you had ever said, every song you'd ever sung, every piece you'd ever passed in the name of God. Then what? Then I imagine you would be diving right in, splashing into the endless and living waters of Christ. See, the thing is, I have a sneaking suspicion that you can imagine it. I think we are here because we like to imagine it. We like to believe in the impossibility of a crew of Christ followers compelled to live in community, imperfect, messy, sacred, trying in every sense of the word, and holy together. I think you can envision it because it is toward that dream that you are taking Wildwood Presbyterian Church. So together we can learn to fear not. We can swim deep, we can let the old cast visions and the young dream dreams, and together dive in, swim alongside, trusting that God will provide the way, and knowing that it is to these waters, to each other and to God, that you most belong. Thanks be to God. Amen.